Welcome back to Turf Show Times, the Instant Reaction Podcast. I'm Kenneth Arthur. With me every week, right after the Rams game, is Blaine Didasco, also known as the Fiasco of Turf Show Times. And tonight we get to come to you after the fourth Rams win of the season out of five attempts. I call that 80%, which is pretty good if you're a baseball player or even if you're a basketball player. And definitely if you're a football team, if you can win four out of five games, that's pretty successful. And for the Rams to go on the road and take an NFC West victory away from a team, it kind of makes up for the loss to the NFC West team on Sunday to some degree. We'll see what happens between the Cardinals and 49ers this Sunday. But the Rams beat the Seahawks 26-17 in Seattle on Thursday night football. Ups and downs. Tonight, me and Blaine are going to give grades for the Rams in the first half and the second half. Talk about the different ways that they played throughout the game and whether or not the Rams even played a good game or not. We're going to talk about what the play was that turned the momentum of the game, the key play of the game for everything. We're going to talk about the big night for Robert Woods, the Rams. Penalties, is that an issue? And also, we're going to do some predictions for the NFC West now that we've gotten through five games of the season. Blaine, I will put it to you just straightforward. You know, the Rams, like I said, they got a win over the Seahawks, who were supposed to be a good team coming into the season. Sort of the jury's out now that they're 2-3, not looking very good. And now we don't know the status of Russell Wilson moving forward as he leaves this game in the middle of the second half with a pretty bad-looking finger injury. And Matthew Stafford also suffered a finger injury but didn't come out of the game. But Blaine, did the Rams play good tonight?
They played well enough to get the win. They played better than they did last week, but I think in a good way, not up to their full potential yet. So I think that's a good thing to look forward to, especially in the first half, right? I think in the first half, they looked a lot like the offense, especially looked a lot like we did last week. But good news is that this week we were able to tighten it up in the second half.
Stafford finishes the game 25 of 37 for 365 yards. He did have a touchdown. He did have an interception in the end zone there by Seattle safety Quandre Diggs. So this game, last game, it's like we say, it's not too uncommon for a quarterback to have, you know, a couple bad throws. But do you have any concerns here with the fact that, I mean, some of Stafford's throws are in a different stadium? I mean, yeah. He's not even close sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. So that interception in the end zone, I'm sure, gave a lot of Rams fans flashbacks to last season, last couple seasons when it's gone awry like that. So that was not good. And, you know, Stafford said in the post game that it wasn't even a matter of miscommunication, maybe looking for was Jefferson to cut back towards the pylon. It was just, you know, a throwaway that wasn't a good throwaway. So, you know, a very sort of rookie mistake for a veteran. So that can happen. Mm-hmm. Luckily, he made it up in the second half with some good throws.
I think that Darrell Henderson is playing some of the best football of his career since returning from his rib cartilage injury, up to about 6 yards per carry, really, here in the last two games. And Sony Michel, you know, he got a lot of touches, wasn't as impactful. It did have a couple of nice runs there and helped the Rams there on that one drive that where he got pretty much every play. So what were your thoughts on the Rams run game this week?
Yeah, Henderson looked good. Sony Michel came in and, you know, I think we're all thinking, is he going to, you know, come in and, you know, make up for his critical fumble last week against the Cardinals? And to me, he did. You know, it looked like he came back, you know, running with a vengeance, running with intent. And he sure did keep us moving as he was spelling Henderson, who also had a good game. Got to credit the offensive line. You know, another good game. We're getting the push and creating the lanes. But Michelle and Henderson made a good combination tonight.
Yeah, the offensive line, again, doing its job. I was a little worried going into the season that Stafford might take more sacks than Jared Goff just by the nature of his game. But really, he doesn't. That doesn't really happen very often. He sacked one time tonight, and that seems to be about maybe the average that he's in, on pace for is, you know, maybe 0-1-2 sacks a night. And, you know, that's a credit to Stafford's ability to get rid of the ball. It's a credit to the offensive line. The running game, again, is a credit to the offensive line. Interesting to see what the Rams will do moving forward with so much uncertainty in 2022 in that area. But for now, they don't have to worry about it. Receiving wise, Sean McVay had said last week took responsibility for Robert Woods not getting as many targets. And I thought maybe this would be too soon. Could he really be telling the Seahawks right up front, I'm going to just be throwing the ball at Robert Woods? Mm-hmm. And really, Blaine, he said, it's like they said, yep, because you can't stop it. So who cares? And he had 14 targets, 12 catches, 150 yards. This is the second time that Robert Woods has had 150 yards or more against the Seahawks, the other time coming as a member of the Buffalo Bills. Thoughts on Robert Woods?
Yeah, I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, and, you know, McVay, you know, did his thing as far as, you know, orchestrating this type of attack. Yeah, Robert Woods came up big tonight, and I tell you what I like about that is that over the last four games, we've had now three leading receivers. With Cooper Kupp being our leading receiver in the first couple games in terms of yards. DeSean Jackson had the most yards against the Bucs. Mm-hmm. Ben Jefferson led the receivers last week. So now with Woods being the leading receiver in this game, now looking ahead, the Rams now have four receivers that can be the primary target in any game. So I think it was really good. And we all know that Robert Woods has this potential, and you can run the offense through Robert Woods almost as well as you can Cooper Kupp. But to put it into action like this, especially like you said, when we gave him the heads up, was impressive. I still think that this is Matthew Stafford getting used to having this many weapons, but still it's a good challenge for Stafford and McVay to figure out how to distribute and how to use these targets, but maybe not within a game, maybe within the season, like we're seeing. We're going to see a rotation of primary targets, and it's going to be hard for defense to know who to key on.
Yeah, I mean, and Tyler Higbee caught a touchdown tonight, and he was only targeted two times. But even he can probably, we know that he'll be targeted sometimes five, six times a night, and sometimes even he may lead the team in receiving yardage. And so this is without even getting, there are those nights now where, yeah, you have Van Jefferson. He's the guy that gets, someone's going to get left out, perhaps, you know, and even with Stafford getting 365 yards, there's only so much to go around, especially when you do have, you know, Cooper Kupp there and Robert Woods there. And tonight was Robert Woods' chance to shine. Defensively, do you have any standouts on the defense tonight?
Well, right, standout as far as positive standouts.
Yeah, for sure. You can find one.
Let's start on the positive end. Let's start with Leonard Floyd. And then let's start where the game started. In the first quarter, the first one that jumped out at us that was, you know, creating problems for the offense, for the Seahawks offense, was Leonard Floyd. He seemed to be getting off the edge quick, the first one to be causing Russell Wilson stress. So I thought, you know, and eventually the rest of the pass rushers, Aaron Donald got a sack. So I'd say Leonard Floyd jumped out as probably the standout for the defense.
Yeah, and, you know, Terrell Lewis was another guy who had a few nice plays, and he seems to be racking up and stacking up better and better games, or at least, you know, just the fact that he's out there is good. You just need to find somebody else, because I think the big issue for the Rams, especially in that fourth quarter against Geno Smith, no pressure whatsoever. And you never really, you know, when you had guys, you would think well, maybe Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, they're just running away from it. But Geno Smith, he doesn't seem to have any athleticism, and he was fine. And there was no pressure at all day. It really, you know, I watch a lot of college football. I track the quarterbacks because I'm just so fascinated by the draft and the quarterbacks in the draft. And I watch them and, you know, you just got so many of these guys who put up insanely good numbers. And then you just watch the film and it's almost boring because they just take the, you know, they're in the empty set and they just stand back there and they take it and they slowly turn their bodies to the side and then they just loft it up in the air and it falls into some open receiver's hands. And they were playing against a bad school and there you have it. And that's how Geno Smith looked against the Rams. You know, you're not supposed to look that way when you have Aaron Donald taking up, you know, sucking up so much attention. Where is the rest of the pass rush? So, you know, Terrell Lewis had a sack tonight. Donald had a sack tonight, as well as three QB hits. As you say, Leonard Floyd, he can get pressures, but, and he can affect passes and he can, and he, we saw him in the run game tonight, but where, you know, it's the same thing with so many other, players sometimes who get drafted, you know, get these high draft picks. And then all of a sudden when the sacks aren't there, we start going, yeah, they're good in other ways. You know, it's like, oh yeah, but they affect the passes and stuff. And it's like, yeah, but we praise Aaron Donald in large part because of all these freaking sacks that he can get and really actually impact the play immediately. Who do you think is the most likely? Obviously Leonard Floyd had 10 and a half sacks last season, but so many of them were bunched up in games, you know, against Seattle. He didn't have any tonight, but against the Seahawks and Bears last year, between like Floyd or Lewis or somebody else, Blaine, what do you think you look for with regards to pass rushing help?
Yeah, I mean, this is where we, you know, we kind of remember that we had a guy named Justin Hollins that was kind of on his way to, you know, maybe being that guy. So I think, you know, I think the jury's still out. Oboe had flashes tonight and he was involved on a few plays. But otherwise, you know, we're going to keep looking for, you know, Terrell Lewis and Oboe to take up that spot. But, you know, also in the interior, I like Greg Gaines. I like what he's doing. You know, he's not getting home or showing up on the stat sheet, but he, if you watch, he's affecting the plays. He's getting in the backfield. So if not this season, I see potential in Greg Gaines. I like when he's out there.
Yeah, it's another area to look to because the other thing just seemed to be that in addition to not getting any pressure, the Rams also weren't able to cover the Seahawks receivers as often as a team would like from cornerbacks. So David Long out, Robert Rochelle, you're in. Not, you know, and the solution worked about as well as you would have expected, you know, so, and then Darius Williams also leaves the game with an injury because Taylor Rapp accidentally hits him in the head. So that also kind of, everything's kind of seems to be going the way, you know, the implosion that, that things seem to be going in. I guess number one, is there a solution that you see to this happening now? Is there any way to fix this now?
Yeah, that's tough, right? Like you said, last week, it, you know, midseason, it gets tough. We didn't sign Stephon Gilmore, so that's out. But at least we saw progress in the way of coaching changes. We, you know, David Long, like you said, David Long out. We at least get a look at Robert Rochelle. He gets a chance to play the full game and see what he can do. One nice pass breakup against Tyler Lockett in the end zone for Robert Rochelle. But you know, that don't know if that makes up for the amount of times that he got beat by DK Metcalf for the touchdown. So, you know, like you said, I think it was a bit of exactly what we expected. You know, at least we saw the change. I guess it would be hard to be any worse than what we've seen from David Long, and it wasn't, but still it wasn't a vast improvement. So it's gonna be tricky unless we see some development, some quick development from Rochelle, and hopefully we get Darius Williams back. Hopefully he's all right. We can, you know, at least damage control.
So how would you, if you were to give the Rams offense with Matthew Stafford a grade in the first half and a grade in the second half, how do you think you would assign those marks?
In the first half, it's got to be a C, if not maybe a C minus. And this is really sort of compared to the potential. Matthew Stafford, you know, we all expect more from him than missing these, you know, these gimme throws right in the mid range. So C in the first half, B plus in the second half, and that goes, that higher grade goes very much to the run game, offensive line, the run game. Helps with the higher grade, especially as it comes down to clock management. But everybody tightened it up in the second half. So B plus second half.
And yeah, that's a fair evaluation, I think, you know, and also we just really don't know what these 3-4 day turnarounds really do on the body. What impact you can really have, you know, if anybody out there, you know, exercises regularly, you know, it's difficult, or you know, if you're tired, if you have to all of a sudden have half as much rest, right? It's got to be harder, right? I'm not an exercise expert, but what about the defense on Thursday night? First half, second half grades.
Defense, it was, you know, again, better than last week. And then, you know, I think from first half to second half, maybe an even grade, but I think the way to slice the defense's grade this week really is up front versus in the secondary, because like you said, you know, up front we did okay. In the secondary is where we were getting beat. I think the indicator would be, you know, you got 5 receivers that had catches of 20 yards or more. That's too many big play pass yardage, too many big plays to be given up by the secondary. So I think that's the big hole. So maybe, you know, maybe they even each other out, C for first and second, C plus first and second half.
Yeah.
At least improvement from last week.
And if you're, you know, for the Rams defense, really, you look at it, these are their drives against the Seahawks offense with Russell Wilson on Thursday night. First drive, 32 yards punt. Then next drive, 51 yards turnover on downs. Next drive, 13 yards interception. Next drive, 3 plays, 83 yards touchdown. That includes the 47-yard defensive pass interference against Robert Rochelle. So it took a huge 50-yard penalty for that drive to happen. Next drive, 55 yards, and that was the missed field goal before the end of the half. Seahawks then have an opportunity. You know, the Seahawks had an opportunity at this time to go up, you know, in a best case scenario for them, 21-3, because they had the ball. They were driving at the end of the half. They didn't get the touchdown, settled for the field goal attempt, missed the field goal attempt, get the ball to start the second half. And the Rams only allowed 19 yards, forced them to punt, and then 1 yard punt, -4 yards punt. And that's all with Russell Wilson. And then Geno Smith comes into the game, 98 yards, touchdown. What were your thoughts on that Geno Smith drive?
Credit to Geno Smith. I mean, that's, you know, that's exactly what you hope a backup to look like. So, you know, he did great. I think, you know, a little bit of underestimating the backup. The Rams defense, you know, our strength last season was the ability to cover well in the secondary and make an impact with 4 rushers. So that's kind of what it looked like while we're dealing with Geno Smith. Like you said, we didn't get to him. He had all day to pass. And again, I think all day our secondary was lacking. So that's what it looked like to me. It was, you know, no pressure and weak coverage. But I give also credit to Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. They played well tonight and, you know, and earned their yards. But again, we're not looking our best as far as coverage goes.
Yeah, there are some holes to shore up for sure. You mentioned, you know, the Rams having different leading receivers week in and week out and being able to spread that ball around. Let's talk about the moment of the game. What do you think was the play that really turned everything here in the Rams' favor.
It was again, once again, DeSean Jackson on a deep ball. But now that we've seen so many of these, at least attempts, we saw the one against the Buccaneers where we hit. We saw, I don't know, what, two or three underthrows where we're going for it. So again, underthrown. But DeSean Jackson, like the pro and the veteran he is, I thought he tracked that ball, you know, whether he was anticipating the underthrow or not, he tracked it, he anticipated it, he adjusted. And so I give a lot of the credit to that big play, that game-changing play to DeSean Jackson, getting downfield with his speed, tracking that ball, making the adjustment. If I had to critique that play at all, did it look like he ran out of gas at the end?
Yes. It looked like he had given up, right?
Oh, man. Yeah.
That is something that I don't know if DeSean Jackson would address that, but and you don't want to like say it because, I mean, could you, I mean, I don't know. I mean, could you be that gassed at from running down the field? I have no idea what it's like to play football, I guess, but but also be a world-class athlete, but who knows what condition he's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I don't know, you could say maybe earlier in his career, you know, he could hit that button, turn that corner, it looked like he had some real estate ahead of him. But nonetheless, it was the game-changing play, and because the ball was not, you know, the thing is, if it was put out in front of him, like in these other plays where he's behind the defense, you had Jamal Adams, who was behind and where he was supposed to be. So if the ball was thrown out in front, that play might not have happened.
Yeah.
So it just happened in the right way, but DeSean Jackson was ready for it. So nonetheless, score or not, they end up scoring on that drive anyway. It was the game-changing play.
Totally. I mean, those are the types of plays and throws where it's like, if you didn't, you know, if you couldn't see the color of the jerseys, you might think that was intercepted because it's one of those ones where it's like, oh, clearly someone has to stop and go back for the ball. But it did work out that DeSean Jackson was the one who made that pick, as it were. But yeah, so the Rams do improve to 4-1 and have a 2-game lead over the Seahawks, which is, you know, pretty promising given that, you know, the Seahawks had won the division last year. Now, clearly, Seattle has taken a step back, whereas, you know, the Rams have taken a step forward with Stafford, no doubt. You know, there's times when this offense, like we're talking about the DeSean Jackson play, when you talk about watching Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and Stafford, when they're all, everything's going well, and we're talking about the offensive line, the Darrell Henderson, you know, this does feel like a team where offensively, if you're looking at the league and going, oh yeah, you need to score 30 points a game to win, you would think, you go, okay, great. Well, I do think that the Rams have the pieces there to do that. That being said, they only scored 26 points tonight. So it's like, what happens when it's like, yeah, the Rams are good, but they're not good enough when you get to the playoffs and you're facing a team that's just also has as much firepower, but maybe doesn't have as many holes, weaknesses on defense. And you know, the Rams will change as the season goes on, as will every team. But Blaine, I mean, like, where do you stand in terms of like, are the Rams at a place right now where the offense is good enough to always keep the team in the game?
No. People like to talk about, you know, in a good way, we're compared to the Buccaneers last season because of the Super Bowl expectations. But, you know, the Buccaneers didn't quite find their rhythm, and they were a team that developed throughout the season. So, you know, I believe in that comparison. And so I don't think that the Rams are, you know, hitting their stride yet. You know, it used to be a four game preseason. And now you have these guys who don't play at all in the preseason. So this, in a lot of ways, represents the first or the fourth game where all the starters are playing four quarters. You know, not to make any excuses, but it's kind of what it is. And which means that they should be operating enough to be winning these games, but still it's expected that they're still figuring things out, especially with a new quarterback, finding timing, learning about his new receivers. The Rams have a nice three-game stretch ahead of them, three-game stretch of you know, teams that might not be as imposing as the last three that we faced. So that may give us an opportunity to gain some confidence, work some things out. But of course, you know, no team can be overlooked, but our last three was, you know, some pretty good opponents.
Yep. The Rams at 4-1 next travel to face the New York Giants next week, and then host Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions in week 7, and then go to the Houston Texans on Halloween in week 8. So yeah, you go Daniel Jones, Jared Goff, and perhaps Davis Mills in week 8, much different than the last three, Brady, Murray, Wilson. Maybe right. Geno Smith was just like an appetizer of the upcoming quarterback situations to be like, okay, here's an early reprieve. But then it's the Titans and the 49ers. Speaking of the 49ers, Blaine, maybe go out on a plank here with me. We'll walk the plank and take a chance, take a risk, and maybe make some predictions here. We've got 5 games for these two teams, 4 games for the Cardinals and 49ers, maybe an updated NFC West standings prediction. And maybe we'll just go team by team, starting with the San Francisco 49ers. And I'll go first. I think that based on what I've seen from the 49ers so far this season, I had some thoughts just before the year, having seen them in training camp. I had some thoughts that this quarterback situation is pretty bad, and people don't really seem to know that. And now we've seen just how bad it is for the 49ers, who are 2-2, lost to the Seahawks just on Sunday, lost to the Packers. But, you know, and they kept up with the Packers, but I don't think we've yet to see a good game out of the 49ers. I'm going to say that they are on track for a surprising maybe 6-11 season. What do you say?
Yeah, I would agree, at least for next week. I don't see them beating the Arizona Cardinals. You're right that you have the 49ers, a team that still figuring stuff out, starting with their most important position, versus the Cardinals, who are, you know, are not figuring out their quarterback position, but in fact finding a rhythm with some of their new weapons in addition to that.
So we both say around a 6-11 there for the 49ers. What would you say for the Seahawks after having seen them firsthand tonight? We don't know the current situation with Russell Wilson, who leaves the game with what appeared to be a dislocated or a broken finger on his throwing hand. But where are your thoughts right now, having seen the Seahawks who fall to 2-3?
Yeah, I mean, let's say if the Seahawks, if Russell Wilson is good to go, then I think, you know, I'd say maybe 9 wins. They got the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up next, and that, you know, they might squeeze out a win there. The Saints and Jack. So they got, you know, like the Rams, they got a nice stretch ahead of them where, again, maybe not as imposing as the Titans or the Niners or the Rams that they just played. So maybe a bit of leeway there to figure some stuff out, maybe get over an injury to Russell Wilson if that's the case. But otherwise, I think they're going to have a hard time against the Cardinals, again, against the 49ers when they see them next. I feel pretty good about the Rams at home on round 2.
Yeah, I think that you're right around on, 9 or 10 wins sounds about right to me, based on the schedule and if Russell Wilson is able to play fairly normally. Looking at the Arizona Cardinals, looking at their upcoming schedule, you know, if we did see a potential downfall for the 49ers and the Seahawks, if Russell Wilson were out or if the Seahawks are just having a poor season, you know, the Cardinals still have 4 games left against both of those teams. It could be that for the Rams and the Cardinals, if those two other teams really fell off in any degree, you know, maybe for the NFC West and it wouldn't be that bad for them. But we'll see whether or not that plays. Always divisional games are difficult, but the Cardinals have those 2 games remaining against the 49ers, 2 games remaining against the Seahawks. They also play the Lions, the Colts, the Bears, the Texans. those would all be games against teams that maybe don't seem all that terrifying right now. And then the other five games are against the Browns, the Packers, the Panthers, who may or may not be for real, the Rams, and the Cowboys. So I could see the Cardinals winning more than half of those games and maybe coming out of this season with a 12-5 record. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, they've got off to, you know, a hot four game start. So given that start, then I think 12 games is a fair prediction. The Panthers will be a good look. And then, you know, who knows what the Cowboys are going to look like that late in the season, week 17. But otherwise, you know, the Rams will plan to get them on our second meeting. So that'll be a loss.
Yeah, there you go. You know, that game will be in Arizona. So that would have to be a payback for that one. But what would you say about the Rams? Are we both in agreement that the Rams still look like the first place team, aka more than 12 wins?
Hard to say. I mean, I honestly, it's closer now than, you know, now the way that the Cardinals are shaping up. So of course, to start the season, then they're the clear projected favorites in the NFC West. But to be honest, you know, today was progress, was encouraging, but I got to give a lot of credit to the Cardinals. And until we see them falter, like we saw the Rams do, they got the momentum. I might not give them the edge, but I gotta say it's gotta be at least even at this point.
You know, I gotta say, and I don't know if some, you know, fans may not like me even saying this, because you're like, oh, don't look ahead even beyond the next game. But looking at the schedule, it's not that crazy to think that the Rams could be 11-1 or 10-2, even if they just play really good, even if they just play pretty good, you know. Now that they're 4-1, the Rams then have Giants, Lions, Texans, which we talked about. They could be 7-1 getting through that part of the schedule. Then you got Titans at home. Titans aren't that good, you know. They've had a couple of good years here in the past. Certainly Derrick Henry and AJ Brown and Julio Jones, it's enough to make you think that the Titans could certainly win that game more than, you know, 40 times out of 100, but it's a winnable game. And then the 49ers, as we said, if their problems are as big as we expect at quarterback, the way they look, it's not that crazy to think about being in the 49ers. And then you could go into the bye week with a 9-1 record, I think. And then you've got the bye week, and then they've got at Packers, which of course is one of the tougher games. And then all of a sudden back home against the Jaguars. And that's going to be probably the easiest game of the year, maybe. So all that being said, Blaine, it'll be interesting going into the December or the final month now to play a regular season game in January 9th, which is crazy. But even then, it seems like, it's not that hard to expect maybe that the Rams will be competing for that number one seed in December. Playing that game against the Cardinals on Monday Night Football in week 14 could be like advertised by then as like, hey, this is the game of the year for the NFC.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to feel like, you know, like that late Seahawks matchup last season, where it will be for playoff standings, it will be for the division. Yeah, I think you're right. That's what that second Cardinals meeting is going to end up being. I agree, going into Green Bay is always tough. And I also think going into Baltimore, will be challenging. So, we'll have to play our best and look our best by then, which is great because that'll be getting warmed up for the playoffs.
Yes, and 10 days off starting now, and no days off at Turf Show Times. So subscribe to the podcast and keep checking back turfshowtimes.com for plenty of articles covering the game and talking about what happened and winners and losers and predictions and all that kind of stuff. So head on over to Turf Show Times. If you're using social media, follow Turf Show Times. It'll be so easy to find on any of those apps. Blaine, hit him with your final thoughts.
final thoughts is, again, Seahawks, Rams, round one for this year was as expected, but as the Rams fans expected, come back from last week, bounce back game, got the job done, got the W, 4-1.
That's it for this episode of Turf Show Times Radio, the podcast. I'm Kenneth Arthur. That's Blaine Didasco. And come back next time for a new episode.